Okay, I'm Donna Korth, and Philip Gabbert is doing the program. That is to say, he's recording it and keeping track of everything and enabling me to speak tonight to you, all of us, in fact. And I want to tell you tonight we are going to hear a great heart stream from Justinius, who is the captain of the angels, really. He's the captain of the seraphim. The seraphim are the highest, the most highest order of angels, and they're closest to Almighty God as far as their position. So I'm going to introduce you to Lenore. Lenore lives in the Fresno area of California, and she is a delightful lady, a member of our team, and she's going to be the hostess for the first few minutes of our class tonight. So Lenore, you can begin.
Okay, thank you, Donna. I was asked to share a little bit about the seraphim, what they look like and so forth. There is only one passage in the Bible that specifically mentions the word seraphim, and that's in the Isaiah 6. And he said that it says that seraphim means the fiery ones. And Isaiah said that the seraphim seem to bear a resemblance to humans, as Isaiah describes them as having faces, feet, hands, and voices, and they're often depicted as very tall. In Isaiah's vision, the seraphim repeatedly proclaim God's supreme holiness and glory. The seraphim do not address God directly, but call out to each other in God's presence. Quote, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Each of the seraphim is described as having six wings, two wings used to cover their face, two wings used to cover their feet, and the remaining two used to fly and wait upon God. So, as we begin this heart stream, it's like Donna said, it's a very wonderful heart stream. And then at the end of the class, in about 75 minutes, if you would like to stay on, you could find out what's happening in our community and how you can benefit. Ask any questions or share any insights or experiences that you may have had, or give us any prayer requests for you or your family or friends, or join us in prayer. So at this point, I would like to give our mission and vision statements. See if this is something you resonate with. Our mission in the Heart Center is as follows. Within our Heart Center community, we realize personal enlightenment through our higher self and share the Ascended Master's teachings and our love wisdom throughout the earth. Our vision. We live in sustainable golden crystal age communities in joy and in harmony with Mother Nature, using solar sciences of the spirit. We radiate light and we live and love as one. Now I would like to invite you to get out the prayer that was that is in the invitation that you received. And if you have that ready, let us give this opening invocation together. Together. In the name of the Father, Mother, Son, Daughter, and Holy Spirit, we call to beloved Justinius, Captain of the Seraphim, thanking you for your love and guidance as you share your thoughts and words with us tonight. Thank you for helping us in our trek upward to be fully aligned with God and his plan for ourselves and our blessed earth. Thank you, beloved Archangel Michael and your legions for protecting our class physically, mentally, spiritually, and electronically during our phone conference. Thank you for bringing to our class those souls who are eager for truth and who hunger for more enlightenment. Amen. Now it is time for our song, and we will be singing song number 76 in the songbook, Angels from the Realms of Glory. As we sing, visualize each of us in our homes surrounded by beautiful seraphim of light and healing. Feel their love lifting us up and invigorating us.
Bring your flight o'er all the earth.
Okay, we're now going to begin the heart stream with Justinius. The heart stream, as I said, as we've all have learned, is going to be amazing because of Justinius, who has so much to encourage us with and gifts to give us tonight, if you're open to them. So Philip will now begin the heart stream.
I am Justinius, captain of the hosts of Seraphim, and I ensoul this book, Angels, 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 with my presence, for I am on that cover, overshining all the angels therein. And I choose this day to reveal my identity to humanity, to afford them entree into the heaven world through association with, communion with the angels of all bands of light. O mankind, it is time for you to walk and talk with us and to invite us to walk and talk with you. And when you do, through prayer, through singing, the Noels of this season, and the songs that you love to us, we indeed come, invest God's presence through us in your midst, bless you, charge you with light, save your souls, and bring to you inspiration that is our benefit to your soul, your spirit, your mind, your heart. When you collaborate with angels of the sacred fire of any band of the realms above, there is, dearest hearts, an intercessory action of light, bringing more of heaven to earth, allowing you to feel greater God glory in your midst, greater light within your aura, a greater action of the sacred fire deep within you, so that you may move swiftly forward on your path of light toward your victory in all things. the seraphim themselves, being the closest to the throne of Almighty God within the heaven world, can bring to you such supernal light that if you engage with us, you will have the solution in any situation to your issues and problems.
I'm now going to call on Maria. Maria Ramirez lives in Florida with her family. Her daughter Joanna is also on the class tonight, and she's going to talk to us about spiritual results from getting more light within the body. And she's going to share, I think, an example about when she actually received more light and how it helped her. So, Maria, hit *6 and you're in.
Thank you. I'm here, and I'm going to share with you the light of God that the angels share with us, and is they're always there surrounding us and helping us with all kinds of issues and things that we need help with. I am going to share with you how one day when I saw the light of God, and they communicate with us. Whenever they know that you need something and you need to have it, they're right there to share. You know, like one time when I went to buy some groceries across the river, and something within me said, get your gas now because, you know, you may not have enough to get home. But I thought that I did. I always did, and the ride home was always easy. But that day I did not listen. I didn't follow orders. And so I went into the highway thinking that I had enough to get over the bridge and get home. But it so happened that as soon as I got in the highway, after I received notice and I saw the light of the angels, I mean, so clearly around me. And I got into the highway and didn't stop for the gas. There was a gas station right there in the corner after I left the grocery store. Well, what happened was that soon after I got into the highway, I noticed that there was a lot of traffic. Like, it was not that late, you know, for rush hour, but it was like a rush hour situation. And then where I was, there was no way to get out and the first exit. So I got caught in there, and it was a very hot day, and I had the air on. So, you know, gas goes really fast. So what happened was that I got worried because I knew I wasn't going to make it, and there was no way anybody could come and help me with how the traffic was. So I started making calls to God, and the loudest. I opened the window, put my air conditioning off, and opened the windows, and it was about 90, and it was terrible. But I was making the loudest call to God, the loudest that I have ever done in my life. And I didn't care who was listening to me. Well, everybody was in their cars with their windows closed, but I was pretty loud. And then all of a sudden, I see that my gas meter was coming down and down to the empty and a little bit beyond the empty. And I was really, really worried. And so I prayed the loudest. And do you know that I looked and the meter started rising like somebody was pumping gas into my car. And I made it out of there just to get over the bridge out to and get some gas at the first gas station I got, and made it home with my groceries and that, because it was going to be an impossible thing for anybody to come to rescue me, not even the policeman or nobody, because there was no way that anybody could penetrate that. And so I learned my lesson. You receive that light, it's an amazing feeling. And then you receive, you know, the word of God through the angels. They're right there around. They were surrounding my car, me, and everybody else. Because if I would have stopped there, then it would have created a greater traffic jam. So anyway, I just want to let you know that God is always with us. The angels are at his command. And as soon as we make that call, they're right there to help us. Even to me, that was a miracle that they put gas in my car. So that's what I have to say about this in this situation. But always since I was a little girl, I felt that light of God, and they guided my path all the time that I felt that they were there with me. Because boy, let me tell you, I got myself into a lot of situations that if it wasn't for those angels and the light of God, and even though the seraphim are always in the realm of God's glory, and they don't want to move from there because they're so full of God's glory that that's where they want to be all the time, just singing glory to God. But let me tell you, on special occasions, they will come and help us out and help the other angels, because that's what this Justinus is all about.
Thank you.
So this
Thank
is my
you.
Story.
Thank you so much, Maria. That really had me on with goosebumps listening to you. I was getting worried about it myself. So that was great.
Yeah.
that was wonderful. Wonderful example of the angels working in you. Okay. We'll go ahead now.
Your health and vitality will increase if you invoke the light of the seraphim. Your mindfulness will be magnified if you associate with us. Your God consciousness will expand, and you will be able to cognize more freely and think more clearly when the angels are with you and surround you with their glory, God's glory, the I am glory of the Almighty in your midst. The seraphim look for some through whom we can work to bring the rays of God, the flames of God, into action in the world of form of mankind. And when you feel the scintillating rays of God manifesting as that charge of light, as a release of sacred fire within your aura, often, blessed ones, it is the angels surrounding you that magnify this light and allow you to feel the glory of the Lord, the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit, and the magnanimity of God's love refreshing you with these cosmic currents of light. If ever you require a boost, yes, you can drink your celery juice, yet you can also invoke the seraphim to instill within that liquid of light a greater action of God's I am spirit, that then will move through your bloodstream to vivify your cells, to encourage you to move upward in the light through your work and service. Yes, you may take your supplements, but think of the angelic light, dearest ones, as the greatest supplementary action of virya that can improve your well-being in all realms and multi-dimensions of being. Yes, you can eat your vegan diet and purify yourself through all manner of spiritual practices, physical ablutions. Yet when the seraphim come into your auric field and invigorate you with God's eternal rays, there is an even greater action that supports your solar evolution, your ascension itself.
So I'm going to take the second question here in our opportunity list. I'm going to talk about what are three physical results of getting more light within. And I'm just going to share with you what happens to me when I take something like this very seriously. Of course, now Justinius tells us first that when we eat healthfully, the seraphim can instill in that food or liquid we're eating a greater action of God's light that will then move through our own bloodstreams, that's yours and mine, to enliven or vivify every cell in our bodies. This means every cell is animated. Every cell is standing at attention. And you know, we are like cells in the body of God. So we become eager to be active in what God has for us to do today. The second thing the seraphim do when they enter your food and your vitamin supplements is they increase your cell, your sense of well-being in all realms of life, in multidimensional ways, he said. This means you will be joyful, positive, expecting the best results of whatever God has for you. The third thing the seraphim can do for us when they enter our auric field, and that's the field of light that is always changing around us depending on our mood, is invigorate us with eternal godly rays, or with God's eternal rays. And this means that we don't just have an increased auric field around us, but we have an eternal greater action that increases our causal body, shortening our distance, our efforts towards being eligible for our ascension. If you don't know what your causal body is, I say call me or call Donna Dregan or Barbara or any one of our team members, and we will explain it. There's a wonderful picture of it if you haven't seen it. So these statements really caught my attention because I try to follow a diet that David Lewis and the masters have recommended through him. And one of the things that David most highly recommends, and even seraphim do, and that's why they mentioned this as an example, is the celery juice. He told us that the masters revealed to him that Anthony Williams, who wrote the book and told us about the celery juice, that Anthony's teachings are 90% accurate regarding how to eat. David has had amazing results from celery juice, and so naturally I began to juice celery every morning. After I juice it into a little plastic pitcher, I hold it between my right and my left hand, one in the bottom of the pitcher and one over the top. And then I thank Mother Gaia, Mother Earth, and her elementals for raising the celery. And I thank the deva of the celery, that's like, she's like a muse, for making it available to us. And I thank the angels that work in my life, my own body elemental that I call Little Donna, for helping every cell in my body absorb the light in the celery juice. And then I call to my own seraphim, who I named Seraphim of Comfort and Direction. And I call on this seraphim also to enter the juice and everything I eat during the day to animate, invigorate, and increase my sense of well-being in all realms. Now, I am seeing it work miraculously as I get older. The main thing I experience is a relief from inflammation in my hips and low back. I have one leg that is shorter than the other, which inflames my left hip and interferes with sleep. I do not have to take pain medication anymore, and I'm sleeping. Plus, I am able to put on this class with Philip and Barbara's help, teach Sunday school, and help lead a Bible study from the little community church I attend as able, and other work in the community, as well as do my gardening. I do not know anyone in my community who's in their 80s that isn't on a prescription drug or doesn't have to take medication, especially for pain. Now, let me share with you what Anthony Williams says, because this will be encouraging. First, Anthony was about 4 years old when a voice spoke to him while eating with his family at the dining room table, and it said, "Anthony, get down from the table, go over to your grandmother, put your hand on her chest, and say, lung cancer." He did not even know what the word lung or cancer meant. So he did this, and it so shocked his family that his grandmother went to the doctor within the next few days, and she was diagnosed with lung cancer. The voice continued telling him what to tell people about their health. Anthony says, "The first time God led me to recommend celery juice was in 1975 to bring down the inflammation of a family member's back injury after she fell down some stairs. I was just a young kid, and it was unheard of at that time. I also remember suggesting it to help a friend of the family who had a severe case of acid reflux. In both cases, the persons were healed after drinking it on an empty stomach, waiting for 30 minutes before eating, if they wished. Now, of course, this took several days. Then he says that between age 14 and 16, he was working in a local supermarket as a stock boy, and the spirit would guide him to tell customers which vegetables or fruits their bodies required. He was often led to the celery. His boss was impressed and asked how he could help Anthony, who replied that he needed a juicer. The boss supplied it. He insisted that the spirit told him he had to drink the juice and not include all of the celery, because the celery is very high in fiber, and fiber absorbed the juice and would keep him from getting all of the benefit. So he then began selling or sharing the juice to every customer that came in. And the boss was very excited because they bought a lot of celery. He had them drinking at least 2 cups on an empty stomach daily, and they got well from arthritis, gout, diabetes, gastrointestinal problems, and many other conditions where inflammation was involved. Now, you can read the book he wrote. In fact, he's written about 5 books, and there's only one vegetable that he has written a book totally about, and it's called Medical Mediums Celery Juice, the most powerful medicine of our time, healing millions worldwide. All the other books are about things like liver rescue and other stuff. And in this book, he says, you'll read about pathogen-fighting sodium cluster salts, the only such substance found this only substance is found in celery in this balance. You'll read about the gut-soothing digestive enzymes, endocrine-balancing plant hormones, immune-boosting vitamin C, and more in his book. So I have read that book and used it and shared it with many people, and I notice now I have to fight over the organic celery at Walmart, because a lot of people are getting it and telling me how it's helping them right here in my town. I do have a health food store. I don't work there anymore. I have a manager doing it for me so I can spend more time in other community things and with the Heart Center. But I'm hearing from my customers that keep in touch with me of how much benefit it is. So call me if you ever have any questions or problems about celery juice and other inflammation matters.
All right, here's a call. Pardon me, this is Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Celery is an herb. It's not a vegetable.
That's right, but the people consider it a vegetable.
Okay.
Now we're going to go on.
The seraphim this day come now into the midst of the lives of heart friends everywhere. And we are here with you, dearest ones, to refresh you, to refresh you, to refresh you in the vivifying currents of the resurrection and the ascension light. It is our responsibility to inspire some who are ready for the final initiations leading toward their ascension. And so we do come to those who have qualified for these initiations and who have proven through self-sacrifice, self-surrender, self-service in the highest sense, and self-sacrificial giving to all within their communities, that they are ready for what God proffers their soul, the ultimate destiny of each one in that union with God, the I Am That I Am. When through the Eightfold Path and the Ruby Ray Path, you leave all on the altar through this supernal givingness, blessed ones, we are there to receive your offerings unto mankind and unto God. we bring them unto the throne of the Eternal One. And as God receives your offerings of selfhood through complete surrender to the mystical union of your soul with your spirit, there is the alchemical matrix manifest wherein you are subsumed into pure light, and you leave all that is less than that life behind you, below you, so that you can embrace the great light of your God reality. Think on this. The more you surrender, the more you can embrace your I Am presence. The greater your release of your past, the more you can embrace your divine future in the eternal now. The greater the sacrificial giving of self to God, the greater God offers you his, her selfhood through your I Am presence to know your true reality, your origin and your destiny as light.
I'm now going to call on Sharon Wallace, and she's going to share with us what the Eightfold Path has been in her life, if some any parts of it that she wants to share. And she'll probably talk a little bit about what the Eightfold Path is, because some of you probably haven't heard of the Eightfold Path. So Sharon, take it away.
Donna?
Yes.
Okay, so the Eightfold Path, I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes.
Right views, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and concentration. Mindfulness and concentration. So, yes, I have had experience with the Eightfold Path, and I picked out a few things that I thought were really interesting, because a lot of you do know what the Eightfold Path is, but if you don't, the right understanding is understanding of the nature of things. Right intention is avoiding thought of hatred or harmful intent. And that's really interesting, because most people, we study a little Buddha book, and we study these things, and most people just kind of like superficially look at this. They have no clue what it really means. Okay, so if you need to be careful where you put your attention, and that's also movies, TV, and that TV has a lot of news, be it fake or real news. So you need to avoid getting caught up in judging everyone's thoughts, speech, and motives, because that's not what you want to do. That could be harmful intent to them if you get upset behind something that someone says. I lost a friend on Facebook, which is not a big deal, because he was upset because my views on things are different from his. So I thought it was kind of funny, but he thinks we're not friends anymore, whatever. So right speech. Once you speak it, you cannot put it back. You have to really be careful with your words. And this is something that I've worked on all of my life, because I have a tendency to be too blunt. Do not like excess conversations. So, you know, if you ask a question, I'm going to give you the answer and just let it be. But I've realized over the years that people's feelings are easily hurt, and that's not what you want. It's not just about thinking about making karma. I don't want to hurt your feelings. So I've learned over my lifetime to just step back a little bit and just think about the words that I need to say to answer your question and make you feel better, make you feel more comfortable with it. The right action, refrain from physical misdeeds, such as killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. I don't think we need any more explanation of that. The other thing that I've dealt with was right livelihood. Now, they talk about slavery, selling people as slaves, drugs, alcohol, poisons, and animals for slaughter. So two things I like to say about that. I live in a neighborhood where we have urban farms. I live in a city, but they have urban farms. So any time of day and night, there might be chickens walking around in my yard. So one of the guys who owns some of the chickens, very nice person, he decided he wanted to teach the children how to humanely slaughter the chicken. And I was appalled. And I said that. It's like, you cannot teach these little children how to kill chickens. Because they're little children, and you don't know what kind of parenting they have. So they're going to be slaughtering everything. So they killed all these chickens. So that, again, is not right livelihood, because the viewpoint was not right. And also, a while back when I was a colon therapist, I was offered a lot of really nice positions as a private colon therapist. But the trick was you had to only teach certain people. You couldn't do everyone who came in the door. And I just never really thought that that was appropriate for something that I wanted to get into. If they had the money, then they should be able to get that colonic. It shouldn't be about them or who they came, you know, who referred them or whatever. Right effort is no negativity. Do not be depressed. Be positive. If you can't be positive, just take a nap until you can be positive. Whatever you need to do to not bring other people down because you're depressed. And a lot of times you're depressed and you don't know it. So your speech is coming out in a way that's not good for people. So my answer to the initial question, how has this affected me? The Eightfold Path is, yes, very difficult, but not possible. And I refer back to what Justinus was saying, the more you surrender, you can embrace your I am present. And that's a wonderful concept. And also, it goes hand in hand with the Ruby Path, which is the path of accelerated love. So that's what I wanted to share tonight. Thank you, Donna.
And I'm still thinking about all the chickens. Wow, what a story. Okay, let's move on here.
This eternal truth all must know, for many would rather continue to have their ego in charge of their life, their lower nature as king of their self. Well, dearest ones, there comes a time on the path when every soul must let go of this lower matrix of darkness to accept the higher formulas of the spirit in the alchemical union of the lesser with the greater, of the soul with the spirit. So this day the Seraphim offer you this initiatic path, and no matter what you have been in the past, who you have associated with, what you have done that is in the ignoble spirit of your dweller on the threshold, today you may embrace God fully if you choose this path of light. Today you may be self-transformed in the spiritual, energetic frequencies of the Divine Mother, who woos you toward her heart, toward her being, so that you may indeed rise into that Shekinah glory of your I Am presence. Today, you may let go of everything that has compromised you as a son, a daughter of God, to embrace the totality of your divinity within the experience of the eternal, which is within you, blessed hearts.
So now I'm going to call upon Lenore, who you've already met, and she's going to talk to us about something that is not mentioned here, but it is very much related, and that's the Four Noble Truths and how they relate to the Eightfold Path. And it's something that's a little simpler to remember, perhaps. But anyway, she's going to share them and share with you, perhaps, what they have meant to her. So, Lenore, you can come on.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. Yes, the I just wanted to mention that in case people aren't familiar with this at all, that this comes from Buddhism, and this is the path that was given by Gautama Buddha. So the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering, earthly existence, including birth, decrepitude, sickness, and death, is suffering and sorrow. The truth of the cause of suffering, the cause of human suffering lies in ignorance and karma caused by desire or craving. The truth of the cessation of suffering, the extinguishing of all human ignorance and karma, results in a state known as nirvana. The fourth, the truth of the path of the cessation of suffering, the path to the cessation of suffering is the noble eightfold path. So that's how they're related. And then in August of 2018, Gautama Buddha came and gave us what he called the Four Nobler Truths and the New Eightfold Path. And this is kind of an upgrade to the original Four Noble Truths for the Aquarian cycle. And it is basically, instead of focused on suffering and desire, its focus is divine love and divine joy. So I'm just gonna quickly share with you about that. So the four nobler truths. One, your divine life is rich in joy. Two, the cause of joy is divine love. Three, divine love can be experienced, expanded, and shared even while you are embodied on earth. Four, the means of doing this is through the new eightfold path. And so the heart chakra has eight petals. And so he gave us eight heart virtues that if we embody, if we understand and embody these virtues, we've got it. It's the ultimate. Okay, so I'll just read through them without the numbers. They are loving kindness, loving understanding, loving charity, loving empathy, loving gratitude, loving forgiveness, loving mercy, and loving compassion. So there you have it. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Lenore. That really is a more positive viewpoint, isn't it? We have the two things of joy and of love, and they are enhanced as we focus and meditate on these, and enhanced also by the seraphim that we're talking about today. So now we will continue.
I, Justinius, with Serapis Bay, and fire you, O soul, with the ascension currents this day. And as you read this tome of light, angels, 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 you will find aspects of your own God consciousness within the words as cups of light on every page. You will find the internalization of the God flame within the matrices of the paragraphs, the concepts, and that which the ascended hosts, the angels themselves, have embedded within their words. Some of these of late and some dictated years ago through this dispensation. Yes, blessed ones, the angels themselves, whom you associate with as you read their words, will bless you, will charge you with their God glory, will suffuse their light all around and within you. And as you embrace these words and make them real within your lives, as you prove the law of being through your conscious actions, words, and thoughts and feelings, there will be a new you dawning each day. And as you read them in the morning, at noon, or at night, the angels will heal your psyche, bless your soul, and radiate their great love to your heart.
Now we're going to go to the fifth opportunity here, which is what should be embraced and read daily in order to see a new you, and what kind of results have you seen in your life? So I'm calling first on Donna Dreegan, and then later Dwyn will also share what has she seen happen in her life. So Donna?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, wonderfully.
Well, there are many wonderful pieces of information in this book that it talks about, but what I'm going to be telling you about are the virtues and the ways that Violet Flame can help you and how they have explained different things. And so what I have been doing is I sit in the morning, first thing, get up and sit at my desk chair each morning, which is across from a window, and I always have my eyes open and I'm meditating. And it also talks a lot about the meditation in this book too. And the first thing, I send out love, looking out the window with my eyes open, and I'm not speaking. And I send love to my neighborhood, and I name my neighborhood in my head, and I name some of the other neighborhoods around the area, and then the whole state, and then I go from where I am in the East Coast in Baltimore, and I go moving up, and I visualize each state, and I go all up to the north and then to the west and down to the south and over to the east again and up again. And I name all 50 states using my visualization and seeing them as they would be positioned on the map. And I send forth many virtues, and I say this in my head, to them with love, forgiveness, joy, etc. And then slowly, while I'm still looking at the sky, I slowly see small areas of violet light, little pieces, and then all of a sudden, slowly it moves into a complete solid area of violet, getting deeper. And as long as I'm looking at it, it stays violet. And I have gone after that, especially the first time it ever happened, I started going into the other rooms and looking out the windows, and the sky was still violet. In the front door, in the back door, on the side, out the bathroom window, and that's what's happened. And I'm just wondering, if, first of all, I'm sending love, hoping that the violet will penetrate into the cells of the people all over this country. And I'm wondering if during the Aquarian age, if the sky is violet like that. So that's my story, Dwyn.
Thank you, Donna. That's great. Yes. When you get in the habit of meditating, there's different ways to meditate. David was just sharing recently that you can meditate by taking your tip of your tongue, touching the roof of your mouth, so your mouth is slightly open, breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth slowly. And pretty soon this becomes a habit. And as you're doing that, you visualize the light, or you call mentally upon the angels. The light sometimes is bright white, and if you would like it to be violet, you call for it. Very often when I meditate, that's what happens to me, but everybody's experience is different. Often when I meditate, I start out with bright white light, and then I see it become more violet or sometimes purple or even indigo. And especially this will happen if I have just been doing some degrees, but often it'll happen first thing in the morning when I get up and I haven't done anything. So those are some thoughts. And I really appreciate what you shared, Donna, because all of you can do this. So now we will continue. Well, first of all, I want to have Dwyn share what she has gleaned from this new book called Angels, Angels, Angels that Justinius is so excited about, and how he very much encourages us to delve into it and meditate through it. You can read a little bit of it and then stop and visualize what you've just read. So, Dwyn, go ahead.
Am I unmuted?
You're fine.
Am I unmuted?
No, you're unmuted. Yes.
Thank you. Well, I just love this book. Angels, Angels, Angels is the most precious book I have ever read. And I knew that it would be. My prayer was that I would receive healing in my heart, mind, soul, and spirit so I could be a better instrument for my higher self. And it is my study guide, and I am so grateful for every divine message, lesson given. My key to wholeness is my connection to my higher self in all things, and always letting go of the sense of limitation and making it a daily priority to pray and to utilize the teachings of the nine choirs of angels. And I am feeling more positive, hopeful, trusting, grateful than I've ever felt in my life. I will continue to reread from this heavenly book daily. So thank you for this magnificent book I called to the beloved angels. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwyn. Let's go on.
It may just be, dearest ones, that you, yourself, being more angelic, will be able to fashion within your world a greater image of God glory than ever before in any lifetime. And when you rise, as you meditate and pray, as you chant and dance with us, there will be a joyful attitude gracing your brow and souling your being. And you, as an angel of light yourself, will emerge from the chrysalis, fully formed as a solar being. This is our goal and desire, that each of you may indeed become the fullness of who you are as you read and meditate upon this book and its messages. And so I charge each book, both those that have already been received and those which will arrive on the morrow, with the light of each angel whose message is embedded within it, as well as all angelic choirs. For now we come within the atmosphere of earth and answer to the call of ye all this day through your songs and your prayers. And we charge the atmosphere of the earth itself with angelic light from our realms. And there will be a new divine frequency manifest in all realms of being of mankind, among all cultures and peoples. There shall be a new spirit of brother sisterhood as God unveils more of the mysteries of heaven to mankind through progressive revelation, through this and other ascended master dispensations. There will be the transformation of the earth itself as you rise in consciousness to be angelic in your own unique and special way. This is the decree of the Lord of heaven, and so I have spoken it this morning. It is true, it is real, and you make it even more of a divine reality as you accept and through faith believe these words of our God. Thank you, precious ones, for your givingness today and always. Did you know that each of you is written in the book of life, God's greater book of Akasha, and your own book of life, of your own Akashic records? God endears you to him herself through love. And if you would endear yourself fully unto God, embrace the divine you, your real I Am presence, each day, consciously, for this is where we dwell, around your I Am presence, the presence of the One, and one times one times one, all through oneness, through divine unity, are within the heart of the Creator, the source of all. Thank you, precious hearts, again for your givingness. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit eternal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Justinius. I do want to say that if any of you have any worries tonight, political worries about these, we can pray for them in our prayer time, and we can talk about them in after the official class. And this is the end of our heart stream, but I'm going to call on, I just want to say one thing here. When you call on the angels, you're calling on God, because we are all one. It's interesting that there's a group now on the alternative news that says, where we go one, we go all. I think that's very scriptural, actually, because even as Jesus said, we are all one. And he said it many times. So realize, anybody who thinks, why can't I just call on God? Why do I need to call on the angels? Well, the angels appreciate it, and they respond to it. But know this, that when you're calling on the angels, you're calling on God, because we are all one. Now I'm going to call on Dwyn to share any announcements of things that are coming up that you may need to know. And then we will go to our prayer time for those of you who can stay. And Barbara Gabbard is going to lead our prayer time today. So Dwyn?